Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com. That's strengthforthejourney.com, and this is radio program number 58 if you're listening by shortwave radio. Today I have a very good friend of mine that's in the studio with me today, Janet Abraham Clark. I met her about 26 years ago, and I always admired her passion for souls, and that passion has never left her. In fact, it's more on fire today than it ever has been. We go way back when we first got saved, about the same time, back 1986 or 1987 period of time. We just happened to go to the same church, and there weren't many people that wanted to go out on the streets and go witnessing, but I found Janet Abraham, as her name was before she got married to Ray Clark. And she would go out on the streets and go witnessing. And I always thought that was very unique characteristic about this woman. She's going to share a little bit of her testimony and how she came to know the Lord and how she came to the ministry that she's in right now, which is called Third Day Power. And they travel around the world ministering in many different countries. They came to Panama back about the mid part of November, and we held a month-long crusade, and the Lord had it that they would stay an extra couple months, and they've just absolutely enjoyed their time, and we have certainly enjoyed their time with us over the last 2 months as well. Janet, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me this morning, Andrew. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have you, and I'm excited just because the Lord's been, you know, many times the Lord wants to do a work in us before he can do a work through us, and that work never ends. He's constantly refining us and making us going from 22 to 23 karat gold, and then it goes on to 24. The fire gets a little hotter as we go, and I know that all of us have been feeling the Lord's refining fire in our lives in the last few months, but I know it's because he has a greater work for us in the future. And that's what it's all about, is that we have to be submissive and be welcome. Welcome his correction, welcome the fire. The last program I did, I talked about an article called Comfort in the Flame. And I think that's where all of us have to be, is we have to find comfort in God's refining fire, because it's his work he's doing in us. It's not something we're trying to do, and we're never think that we've arrived, that we're still being refined as God does his. Is worked in us. And it's great because you think, wow, God's doing this work in me. That means he's got a greater work to do through me. And we can never be satisfied with where we're at. We have to be willing to go further. And I think Paul found that words when he said, I glory in tribulation. He found something. He found the refining work was a good thing in his life. And I know this is, I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yes. You reminded me of when you said that we should never be satisfied, that, you know, we're always striving to become more, because the fire, it burns the dross, it burns the dirt in our lives. And I think about, you know, my life being raised as a Muslim, not really knowing the truth of who God is and the love that he has for us, for me. I thought that God was a judge up in heaven, and I didn't know that he had a plan and a purpose for my life. Excuse me. And when I got saved back in 1987, I began to realize the love that God had for me, and that he loved me enough to chasten me, to discipline me, to allow me to go through the fire, to burn off all the old junk that was in my life. And it's still a process today, 27 years later. Still learning to go through the fire, like as your article talked about, you know, finding that comfort in the flame, because God truly loves us and he knows what's best for us. He doesn't burn the things off of us that are good for us. He burns the things off of us and out of us that he knows would ultimately destroy us.
That's right.
We may think they're good right now, but ultimately they will destroy us. And so, you know, I was thinking about our conversation actually with Ray during our Bible study the other day, when Ray talked about being number one as a bodybuilding champion. You know, do you want to settle for being number one, or do you want to strive to be greater than you were this time next year, to become a champion or to remain a champion in the world of bodybuilding? I look at it that way spiritually. Do I want to say I've arrived? No, I want to get better. I want to become stronger. I want to become bolder. I want to become more pliable in the hands of God. And when we think we've arrived, that's a place where we grow stagnant.
Yes, that's right.
And I don't want to become stagnant. I don't ever want to think that there's nothing in me that needs to be burned out. There's always something that needs to be burned out of us. So we've got to trust the Master, and that when we're in His hands, that He's just molding us. He's just shaping us more into His image, more into His likeness, into His loving kindness. And I believe now the older I get, I find the less I really know. You have to stay hungry when you get older and you know the Lord and you're confident in your walk with the Lord. It's harder because you have this confidence that says, I know the Word. I know who I am in Christ. When you're a baby, you're hungry, you're thirsty. You always want to eat and drink the Word. And so when you're older and more mature, you have to discipline yourself.
That's right.
To get into the Word and study the Word.
That's right. And you know, the thing is that pride is a killer, and many of us get to a place of comfort in our walk, and we think we have arrived, that we've come to this position. Even if you are involved in ministry and you have a successful ministry, you think that you've come to this place where you're done growing. And you know, we're talking about this on the ride over here, talking about being a servant. And many times ministries, they forget that they're still a servant, and they begin to think that they're to be served rather than serve, and they lose focus of who they really are. And one thing I've really been thinking a lot about lately is just, you know, the greatest of all will be the servant of all. Is your heart to serve? Is that no matter what position you're in, whether you're at the top of your, you know, top of your game right now, and you got this ministry just rocking, and are you're in business world and things are just going great, and you think you've already arrived. But you know what? A rug can be pulled out from anybody in a moment of time. Recently, there's a man that I knew, very strong man. He looked like he probably was in the military. Well, I got a phone call that he needed some blood, and so I donated some blood for him. But I went to see him in the hospital. He looked, I mean, like he's ready to die. But yet 2 weeks ago, he looked just as strong as ever. And we just don't know. We think that we are impervious, that there's, you know, we're always going to be this strength, either physically or spiritually, but we have no clue what tomorrow's going to bring. Yeah. There could be an earth-shattering moment in our life, something happen that can change our world in a moment.
Yeah.
And pride makes you think that nothing will ever change, that you'll always be on the top of your game, and it's not always going to be that way.
Right. This is so true. Pride, I believe that when we have this arrogance in us called pride, what we're doing is we're putting ourselves in the seat of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we were talking about, you know, if you want to be the greatest of all, you have to become a servant of all. And when we get to a place where we want people to serve us all the time, then really what we're saying is, I'm a God. Serve me. Mm-hmm. Instead of if Jesus were here present, what would we be doing? We would be on our knees bowing to Him. What can I do for you? And I appreciate what you said the other day about Charles and Frances Hunter, when Charles said he could never dishonor his wife or talk bad about her because he might as well be looking up to heaven and saying, and that goes the same for you, Jesus. And that's, it was like pride. You know, when we have that sense of attitude about us, we're saying we're better than that person. And I've been thinking about that quite a bit because I tend to, you know, when I get frustrated and in the flesh and angry and full of pride, I have to realize, wow, I'm in that position and I don't want to be the one where God pushes away. Mm-hmm. You know, the scriptures say that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. I don't want God to push me away. I don't ever want to see God's hand up, stop, don't come here. That, you know, that thought just, you know, it puts a godly fear in me, you know. It's like the scripture says, godly repentance leads to sorrow. And many times people are not godly. They don't have a godly sorrow. They have a sorrow that they got caught doing something. But the Bible says godly sorrow leads to repentance. That means humility. Mm-hmm. When you have a repentant heart, you're humble.
That's right.
And you're teachable and you're pliable, which goes to being comfortable in the flames.
Yes.
You know, the flames bring out who you really are, the purity of who you really are. If you're not pure, guess what? The fire is going to reveal who you really are.
That's right. It's interesting that, you know, we think somebody made us mad. And I think, no, you were already mad. It just took a certain temperature to bring it out.
Correct. It's true. It's so true. And I can testify to that because, you know, growing up in a home full of anger, it's not you want to be angry. It's, for me, it's all I knew. I just thought that was normal. And now as an adult, I have to say, it's not normal, Janet. You don't fly off the handle. That's not normal. That's just what you were raised. So thank God for the scriptures. That's where it goes back to. The Lord says, whom he loves, he chastens, he disciplines, he corrects. But he doesn't beat us over the head and kick us when we're down and, you know, shove us to the side. He has a gentle love, but he's firm. You know, we were listening to, a couple of nights ago, I've been so appreciative being with you guys and staying in your home. It's been so awesome. Just, it's one of the hardest things to do is leave you guys, you know. Panama wouldn't be the same without you guys. But the man that was talking about discipline. You know, God, when God disciplines us, it's hard. You know, God's not moved by his feelings and emotions. He's moved by his love. And I'm learning that his love, his discipline is hard, but it's worth it. When I thought I wanted to be married so bad, I couldn't wait to get married. I waited 14 years. And I thought, God, why are you making me wait? Don't you love me? Don't you care about me, Lord? But it was the Lord disciplining me and correcting me because I thought it was man's love I needed. But in his love, he knew that I needed to wait till a certain time. If he would have just gave me what I wanted, I might have been divorced today. I would have been married to the wrong man today. I wouldn't have the ministry that I have today if God weren't such a loving God and made me wait all those years for a lot of things in my life. And so, do we like his corrections? Not always. But when we learn from it and he gives us the promise afterwards, we can understand why he had us go through the fire.
You know, one time I was working on a Phyllis car. I had a paint and body shop in Dallas just after I got saved. And I was maybe 2 years or so later, I had met the girl I married, Ramsey. And I remember we were just friends, and I was working on this guy's truck on a Saturday afternoon one time. I was sanding something on a lower quarter panel. I can almost remember the position I was in when I was sanding, and the Lord spoke. You know, so when the Lord speaks to you, it's almost like time stands still at that moment. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I sure miss Ramsey when she's not around. And I heard the Lord speak back to me, and he said, that's my love you're looking for.
Mm. Wow.
And I just start crying.
Wow.
And I realized that that's really all we're looking for. We're really looking for his love.
Yeah.
But many times we don't want his love because it's a corrective love. Yeah. It's one that changes us. And this is where humility has to come in. Is if you really want his love, you have to humble yourself to receive it.
Yeah.
Because pride can't receive it. We resist his love.
Yeah.
We resist his correction because we don't want to be corrected. It's still a rebelliousness inside of our heart,
right,
that God needs to work out. And that's why it's so important for all of us just to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I don't have it all. I don't know it all. I need you.
Yeah.
And in that place of desperation, that's where he shows up. Yeah. I know when I came here, I shared this a number of times, but I felt so desperate because we didn't know anybody, didn't know the language. We, you know, say we might as well land it on Mars, you know. I mean, we just felt so foreign here. And I said, God, if you don't feed me, I'm going to die. And I heard him say back to me, he said, good, now you're where I want you. Mm-hmm. And this is where he wants us all. He wants us in a place where we're desperate for him,
right,
that we're hungry. Because he can only feed the hungry. He can't feed the full.
Right.
And our problem is that we get so full. And sometimes we're full of ourselves.
Yeah.
We're full of our successes. We're full of our accomplishments and all of our accolades. We look at our trophies on the shelf.
Yeah.
You know, but God says sometimes, he said, look, you want to look backwards, you want to look forwards. Because there's a lot further he wants to take us. And really those trophies mean absolutely nothing for what God has in front of us.
Yeah. Yeah. As you're talking about trophies, I can't help think about Ray, my husband. You know, he's probably got 17, 18 trophies that he's earned and won through bodybuilding. And, you know, those titles and those trophies, we can't even remember the names of half of them. And they're all sitting in a storage unit right now. And, you know, that's what our physical trophies are to us. There's something that's going to sit in storage and they're just going to be a collective memory. But I believe the true trophies that God honors is that we are his trophies. We are his prized possession. When we are willing to allow him, when we feel like we're sitting on a shelf, it's because either we've come out of the fire and God's waiting for the molding to dry so he can take us to the next process so that we can be trophies on display for his glory, you know, in his splendor. When people look at us, they go, wow, that's a prize right there. There's something about that person, and it's Jesus. And when Ray does his bodybuilding shows, he really is the trophy on that stage. When people watch him and they see him minister through bodybuilding, he's just a trophy on that stage for all to see that this man is a gentle giant who's humble, who loves the Lord. He's, you know, he doesn't allow pride to set in because he's one of the greatest bodybuilders, all natural. He knows it's not about him. Our gifts and our talents are not about us. When we're full of ourselves, we're full of pride. Because it's really not about us. It's about the Lord. And if we're about our Father's business, then it's really about him. I remember many years ago, I had just started ministering, doing the feats of strength. When I got saved, several months later, the Holy Spirit spoke to me that I was going to be the first woman ever on the power team. I didn't know who they were. I saw them on TV. I thought it was crazy. And long story short, you know, 12 years later, God finally opened up the door. And again, it was the waiting, the process of God raising me up to be able to handle the position. And when I started doing the feats of strength, a couple people had come up to me and said, wow, that was great. You did a great job. And I was like, no, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was Jesus. It was all Jesus. And my pastor's father, he had complimented me, and I said the same thing to him. And he said, Janet, I understand your heart, and it's so precious. He says, one thing I've learned over my years walking with the Lord, when somebody gives me a compliment because God is using me, I simply say thank you. And he says, at the end of the day, I take all those thank yous and present them to my father as a bouquet of roses, saying, thank you for using me. He said, when you sit there and say, no, it wasn't all me, it wasn't me, it was all Jesus, he said, that's actually a form of pride. He says, receive the compliment. He says, you're a vessel that God is using. So when you say thank you, what you're really doing is saying thank you to the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're a vessel of God, and they're coming up to you saying, thank you. You ministered to me. It's really God saying, thank you. You ministered to me. And it was like, wow, this set me free to say, well, God, use me, but don't let me be so full of pride that I think it's me.
Yes.
It's you, you know? So, you know, God is good in how he uses us. And I love how, I really want to give credit to God through Facebook, because it was through Facebook that we actually got reunited about 3 years ago. And it's really neat to see how over the years, you're just as on fire as I am, you know, you and Ramsey, and just watching you guys, watching you walking in the will of God for your lives. It's not easy, but you're going through the flames as well.
Absolutely.
And it's not comfortable, you know, but to see the work that God's doing in your heart, in your home, you know, in your marriage, with your children, just watching God raise you guys up here in Panama. I just encourage you as well to find comfort in the flame, because God is molding you and he's strengthening you and making you more pliable as well, because he's going to do great things in your life.
Thank you. Thank you. I know that it's been a amazing journey the last 3 years, really, how the Lord, first of all, put on our heart to leave the States and leave our comfort zone. It was not easy, you know, it was just a step-by-step process. We didn't understand where to go. He just began to lead us. But that's the main thing, is that the Lord leads us day by day. You know, it's interesting that someone described this to me. I never knew this before, but the psalm says, "Thy word is a light to my path and a lamp to my feet." The lamp actually was only a little handheld lamp. It was just a small oil-filled lamp that fit in the palm of your hand. And it only gave you enough light to see one step, maybe two, in front of you. And that's the way the Lord's words are to us. He doesn't give us many times the big picture. He just gives us the next step. And we just have to be obedient to take the next step, because then the next step will become illuminated to us if we'll just be obedient to take the step he's given us in front of us. Mm-hmm. And to think way, way, like we want this, you know, 4 million candle power flashlight to shine the way in front of us and see everywhere he wants us to go. It's not going to happen that way.
We would actually be afraid.
We would be scared.
If he revealed everything to us, we wouldn't be able to handle it.
No.
You know, each step he gives us strength, like the name of your program, Strength for the Journey. You know, the scripture say in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge the Lord and he will direct your path.
Yes.
In the word, the word acknowledge means to see eye to eye, that I acknowledge you. I look at you in the eye. I can see you. You see me. We have a connection. And God is saying to his people, I want you to acknowledge me, look at me eye to eye, face to face, so that we can see each other and you can see in my heart, in my face, in my eyes, that I love you and I care about you. And I'm going to lead you along the best pathway of your life. I don't want you to understand it. I just want you to trust me. Trust that I know what I'm doing. You know, the Lord woke me up this morning at 6:30 to the most incredible sunrise. It was so beautiful. It was like, Lord, thank you so much. It was like he was just painting this beautiful picture saying, I love you. I love you, and I just want you to trust me with the details. Look at the details in this sky. Do you not know, or do you not understand that I know what I'm doing? Do you not trust me? Just look at my creation. I have a plan. And if you'll follow me, it's an incredible plan. Even through the storms and the trials and the tests, he's leading us and guiding us. In order to become strong, you have to have resistance. How can I be a champion if I have no opponents? How can I become stronger if I have no resistance? How can I become better if there's nothing to challenge me? And that's what the Lord is doing in his people. Those that want to hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's one more, one more. You know, when you win a title, do you just want to say, I won it once, or do you want to keep that title? That means that I have to become better than I was next year than I was this year. And that's what God is calling us to be, better.
That's right.
You know, he's restoring things, I believe, in this year, 2015. God is restoring things. He's restoring people, families, ministries. If you look at 2015, 7 is perfection, 8 is new beginnings. So there is a completion and a new beginning. You know, there's restoration that God is bringing with a new beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you look at the word 10 and 5, completion, 10. And 5 is grace. So God has given us grace for a new beginning. And I believe that in this year that people are going to see that, you know, in their homes, in their businesses, in their churches, that this is a year that God is calling people to get restored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe he's going to restore many people. And I think that there's a restoring in people's callings too, that many people have really missed their calling. They have gone after their own desires and not sought after God's desire. And this is something that everybody has to make the choices for their own life and for their own future. And many times it's the little small details of our choices that come sometimes can make the biggest difference in our life. Sometimes we don't realize that we think, oh, it's no little deal or no big deal, me just making this little choice here. But it can make a difference in a fork of the road in our life. It could make, you know, when you travel from London, England to New York City in a boat, a half of a degree difference, if you're offset a half degree, when you look at that little change of direction over the course of a long period of time, can make huge. You'll end up in Newfoundland or someplace, right. You know, or, you know, somewhere way off the mark, right, if you don't make corrections. And this is why it's so important for us, if we're off track a little bit, to begin to make the corrections that God is showing us. How do we get off course? And the thing that came to my mind too about what you're mentioning, that you know, even a champion still has to be challenged, because if you have no challenge, if there's no opposition, if there is no challenger, then what's the title for anyway? Right. I mean, it's just an old accolade.
Yeah.
And I think of the churches of Revelation. There's many churches that were doing great stuff, but he said, "This one thing I have against you.
You know, you've left your first love.
And he goes on, "He that overcometh shall be clothed in white." You know, it goes on, all the different things of all the he that overcometh. So that means we have something to overcome.
Yeah.
There's something that is standing in our way, possibly. Maybe it's our pride. Maybe we forgot something. Maybe we're not doing what God's told us to do. Maybe our ministry becomes our own.
Yeah.
Maybe we start going our own direction and we start loving the praise of men more than the praise of God. There's many things that can cause us to get off course. And over time, if we don't make those corrections and humble ourselves and be corrected, we can end up in the wrong place.
Yeah. That's, I don't want to be in that place.
I don't either.
I don't want to be off course. I want to be right on track. And I believe that God's people that have a true hunger and thirst, that's really what they want. And, you know, to sin is really to miss the mark. It's not sex, drugs, and rock and roll like people think. It's missing the mark, that God has a plan for your life. And when you're not following that plan, you're in sin, because you're off the path of God's plan for your life. And when you're off the path, then that's when things go wrong and you have to get back on the path. And so I would just encourage those that are out there listening, that you may be off the path of what God has for you. That's sin. Missing the mark, falling short of the call, is to just get back up. God loves you. He cares for you. And he loves you enough to say, "Hey, get back up. I want to get you back on the right track. I love you, and I want to work all things together for good in your life because I love you. Things that are impossible are going to become possible this year. God is going to restore relationships, marriages, finances, health, if you will get back on the right path."
That's right.
"And allow him to do his work in you."
That's right. Well, thank you, Janet. Thank you for joining us again on Strength for the Journey.
And you're welcome.
And again, our website is strength with the number 4 thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.